Get out your church hymnal now. Turn to number 114. Just get to stand with us if you like. 114. Ever since Jesus saved and pardoned, I've been singing every day.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. Through the dark shadows he is with me, leading me on the upward way.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name.
Every moment I find him.
All the way. Exactly the same.
My soul has been singing
every day
since
the Savior came.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed
holy name. All the day long I sing the story, praising him for his wondrous love.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name, surely I know a home is waiting, beautiful home in heaven above.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name.
Every moment I find him.
All the way.
Exactly the same. My soul has been singing
every day
since
the Savior came.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
Never trusted his name.
Blessed holy name. Brightly the star of hope is shining, making my pathway brighter grow. Praise the Lord, blessed holy name. Never a doubt of sad repining, Jesus is with me, this I know.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord, blessed holy name.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord, blessed holy name. All the way,
exactly the same.
He's exactly the same.
My soul has been singing
every day
since
the Savior came.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
Never trusted his
blessed holy name.
If you would like to read with me in the lesson today, I want to ask you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. I want to begin reading with the first verse, and we're going to be reading about what God told Ezekiel here concerning him being a watchman. So Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning with verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? That's reading the first 10 verses of Ezekiel 33 for a scripture reading this morning. I want to read a couple of more verses, and I'll call your attention to the 14th chapter of the Roman letter, and I want to read verses 11 and 12. Romans 14, verses 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, the language, doesn't really get any plainer than that, does it? I mean, there's really no room for error at all in the verse. There's really no way there in that verse from Romans 14:11. Or 14 and 12 rather, there's really no way to misunderstand it. It is so plain and so easy to understand. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Everyone. And I want to speak today about personal accountability. That'll be the title of my message today, Personal Accountability. We live in a world today, in my estimation, and in what I see, things just seem to get stranger and stranger all the time. There are many things that grow worse and worse all the time. And one of those things is that there seem to be more and more people all the time. Now, we're not, as I talk about this, and before I finish that statement, I want to say that I'm not talking about something that's new or something that just started happening. We're talking about something that dates back all the way back to the first people that lived on the earth. And we're going to look today at an example of them being guilty of this very same thing. But it seems to me like there are more and more people today in the world that want to shift the blame to somebody else over things that happen rather than take personal responsibility themselves. There are people all over the place. I mean, really, from a legal sense, we live in a more dangerous society all the time because it seems to be easier and easier all the time to get sued for something. There are people that I believe are actually looking for ways to be able to blame someone for something and bring a lawsuit against them and get money out of it. I mean, the city could go out and they could put a light pole up close to the city sidewalk, and somebody come walking down the sidewalk and looking this way and that way and ram their head into the pole, and they want to sue the people that put it there. They don't want to take any responsibility for anything themselves, looking to shift the blame to someone else, and oftentimes to be able to do that to make gain. There are, and I don't want to lead anyone astray, there are some lawsuits from time to time. There are things filed that should be filed. But there are a lot of things that are filed just because somebody is looking to shift the blame to someone else and try to get something out of it. And so it just amazes me, and I have mentioned these things before, but it amazes me that somebody could go to a restaurant, buy a cup of coffee, spill it on themselves and burn themselves with it, and then turn around and file a lawsuit against the merchant for selling them coffee that was too hot. That just baffles me. It really does. Or how about this? For someone to break into someone else's house and in an attempt to try to steal merchandise from a safe that was in the home there, this thief got his hands and his arm injured because the homeowner had electronically booby-trapped the safe, and the thief filed a lawsuit against the homeowner because he had not posted a warning that the safe was dangerous. Now, these things have truly happened. I read about them. These things are really taking place. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you have a big, mean, vicious dog locked in your house, if I force entry into your house, don't I have personal responsibility when that dog bites me? Well, sure I do. Of course I do. Or if your house is protected by Smith & Wesson, if I break into your house, if I force entry into your house in an attempt to steal from you or perhaps to even harm you, do I have the right to blame you for my unfortunate meeting with Smith & Wesson? Absolutely not. I mean, people need to take responsibility for the things that they are guilty of, rather than trying to blame someone else who perhaps was just trying to protect their belongings or protect their family. I mean, it's just ridiculous in our society today, the things that people are able to get away with because they can manipulate through money or through some lawyer that is smart enough or something like that. They can manipulate our legal system to the point where they can get away with things that they should not be able to get away with. If you go uninvited into somebody's house, whatever happens to you is your fault. As far as I'm concerned, it's your fault. Perhaps if you have a big dog, maybe it is a good idea. I won't disagree with that. Perhaps it is a good idea to put up a warning, beware of the dog. If you intend to, protect your home with firepower, maybe it is a good idea to put up a warning that your house is protected by that way or by a burglar alarm or whatever. I know that we do have laws and we have rules and we have regulations about those things, but nobody has the business to be going uninvited into somebody's house to take their possessions, do they? That's just wrong. But people want to do things today, and then if something happens, if they get caught and something happens, they want to shift the blame for what they have done onto someone else. The man goes in to rob a bank, and he leaves somebody outside to watch for him, to watch his back. Well, the man falls asleep or doesn't pay attention or something, and the next thing you know, the man's arrested, and he's saying, "Why didn't you look out for me the way that you were supposed to?" Well, isn't the real question, why were you in there robbing a bank in the first place? Well, sure it is. He was doing something that he should not have been doing. I said those things today in order to make this point, that there is coming a day, as the Bible told us here, there is coming a day, no matter what people do in this life, there is a day approaching when all of us are going to stand before God and rightfully answer for ourselves. Every one of us. And in that day, there will be nobody to shift the blame to. There will be nobody that you can lay it off on. And I wanted today, my objective in this message today is to remind everybody that's here, and especially remind you that are here today that have not been saved, that in the eyes of God, you are an individual, and in the eyes of God, you will answer as the individual that you are. And when I stand before the Lord one day in His day of judgment, I will answer for me. And you will answer for you. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul told us here in this writing to the Romans, that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm not going to answer for you, and you're not going to answer for me. Paul said in his writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they are good or whether they are bad." Each one of us. We have an individual responsibility before God. And we will, as I said, we will answer to Him as individuals. Now, if we go back to Ezekiel chapter 33, what was read there, we find there that there is a duty that the watchman has. And that is, if there's evil that's coming upon the land, upon the people, the watchman was to warn those people of the danger that was coming. And he was told here that if he failed to do that, that God would require their blood at his hand. God said, if you see the sword coming and you warn the wicked, and they don't turn from their wicked way, then their blood will not be upon you. I will not require their blood at your hand. But the point that I wanted to make in this today, and I want to read again verses 7 through 9. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore shalt thou hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now the great difference in the two of these was what was going to happen with the watchman. I want you to notice that for the wicked, in both situations, the end result is exactly the same. The word of the Lord here said that if the watchman failed to warn, that the wicked would die in his iniquity. He also said if the watchman issued the warning and the wicked person did not take heed to it, that wicked person would die in their iniquity. The result for that person would be exactly the same, but there would be a different judgment upon the watchman. And friends, I want you to see in this today that no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what happens to you in life, if you are lost and without God, you stand responsible before God for yourself. And no matter what the opportunity may be, you know, there are going to be people one day that are going to stand before the Lord and they're going to try to talk their way out of it. I mean, the Bible makes that very plain to us that there would be people that will begin in that day to tell Jesus of the things that they have done. There'll be people one day standing before the Lord, well aware of the fact that they are condemned before Him, trying to talk themselves out of it. But listen, God's judgment is much different than the judgment of the courts of this land that we live in. There are things oftentimes here. There are people that win oftentimes in our legal system that should not have won. There are things that happen that should have never happened in this system that man has devised. There are things that slip through the cracks that shouldn't have. There are people that are found guilty that really were never guilty. And there are people that, the other way around. There is injustice oftentimes in the system that man has devised. But the Bible teaches me that God's judgment is according to righteousness. The Bible talks about God's righteous judgment. God's judgment is according to righteousness. God's judgment is according to truth. And there's never going to be one person that stands God's judgment that was truly saved in this life that God is going to overlook and send them to hell. That will not happen with anybody. And there will never be one person that went through their life and failed to repent of their sins and trust Jesus to the point where they were born again that will slip by God and make it into heaven. God's judgment will be according to absolute truth and righteousness and accuracy. I mean complete accuracy. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." He knows them that are His. And the Bible tells us that He will never lose, not even one. Not even one. God will never lose one of His people. If you've been saved, regardless of anything that happens in life, I hope and pray that I will never live my life in a way that it'll dishonor God. If he does, may he just take me out. I pray that I will never do things in the ministry to where the ministry will be blamed. If I do, then I hope God will just take me out. I don't want to bring a bad name or reproach upon the ministry. Brother Wheat spoke about it in Sunday school this morning. I don't want to bring reproach upon the church. I want to try by the help of God to live my life in a way that I won't do those things. But no matter what happens to us, or no matter what we may do that we don't intend to do, whatever the case may be, if you've been saved by God's grace, you're going to land safely one day on the shores of heaven, and there's nothing that's going to stop that from happening. Nothing. I agree 100% with what was said this morning. For those that believe that people can be saved and lose their salvation, they are accrediting the power of the devil above the power of God. It's exactly what's happening. Because the Bible tells us that it's by God's power that we are kept. We are being kept by his power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So if you can be saved and lost, then you're saying that the devil can come and snatch one of God's children from his power, and that's just not going to happen. Can't be done. It cannot be done. It is impossible. It is impossible for anybody that's ever been saved to lose what God gave them, because we're not keeping it. Perhaps that's the great misunderstanding, because if we were keeping it, I'm sure we would lose it. But we're kept by the power of God. But the Lord knows all of those that are not his as well. He knows every heart. He knows all of our thoughts. He knows everything about us. He created us. All of us. God created us. We are, individually, we are all God's creation. He owns us. He has the right. God has the right. You know what? I came to grips with this a long time ago, many years ago. I just got this settled in my heart many years ago. God has the right to take me whenever he gets ready. He's got the right. God is giving me every breath that I breathe. Every time my heart beats, God's in control of that. And God has the right to stop it whenever he's ready. So I go through life and I just don't worry about those things. I know it's in the hands of God. And when God is ready for me, God's going to take me. And you know what? When he calls me, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do to stop it. If God calls me today, I'm not going to be able to say, Lord, I'm not ready. I'm not, you know, I don't want to go yet. When God gets ready for me to go, I'm going to go. Just like Job said, God's going to call and I'm going to answer and I'm going to obey that God wants me to do. And I'm thankful that I'm ready for that day. If God calls me today, I'll just say goodbye to this world where people are doing all of these odd and strange things that I talked about, where there's trouble on every hand. If God calls today for my last breath, then I'll just go home to be with God. And that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. You won't have to worry about me. I'll be in good shape. I'm really concerned today about those of you that are not saved. Because God, he may call you today. I'm going to tell you something. I can't come close today to explaining to you what it will be like to stand before Almighty God with no covering for your sin, with nothing to protect you. If we look back in the third chapter of Genesis, when Adam heard God's voice speaking, walking and speaking there in the garden in the cool of the day, he hid himself. He had sinned. He hid himself from God. And when God came and called out to him and said, Adam, where are you? Adam answered and he said, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of that fruit that I told you not to eat of? And you know what Adam did? The very first man on the earth, he began to shift the blame. He began to blame, really in essence, what he did was he blamed God. You think about what he said, he really blamed God because he said, God, that woman you gave me, that woman that you gave to me and I ate. Adam didn't just say, yes, God, yes. Yes, I disobeyed you. Yes, I did wrong. He tried to blame it on someone else. And so then God went to Eve and he said, because of what you're going to be done, and I'm not going to go through all this. And he went to Eve and he spoke to her and Eve blamed it on the serpent. She blamed it on, she said, well, the serpent beguiled me and I ate. So God went to the serpent. But I want you to notice this, that with each one of them, you go and read it. And as I said, I won't go through all of it. You go and read it. But you go and you read that he punished Adam. He punished Adam for what he had done. He punished Eve for what she had done. And he punished the serpent for what he had done, and God held every one of them accountable. Every one of them. I know the Bible tells us that it's because of Adam that sin entered into the world, and that's so true. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and that man was Adam. But God also punished Eve, and he also punished the devil for what they had done there. And God is holding every one of us responsible as individuals for ourselves. We will stand judgment one day. The world today refuses, many of the people of the world today refuse to believe that and refuse to acknowledge that. But that doesn't change the fact we are going to be called before God one day and we're going to stand before him in his righteous day of judgment. We're going to stand and we're going to give account. Don't ever think that you've slipped anything by God, because be not deceived. God is not mocked. You won't put anything over on God. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. I want to say this. If you're here today and you're lost, the best thing you can do is just come clean before the Lord. If you're here today and you're saved, and there's sin in your life that you know shouldn't be there, the best thing you can do is just come clean before God. Just repent of it and get rid of it. Because, listen, as Christians, we need repentance ourselves. We are guilty of things from time to time that we should not be guilty of. And the best thing that we can do, boy, I'll tell you what, we'll justify it. I mean, we will try to justify ourselves every way that we can. We'll listen to the devil. We'll say, well, you know I did that, but it's really not that bad. And you know what? So-and-so, he did it also. You know what? Two wrongs never make a right, do they? My mom used to always tell me when I tried that, I'd say, well, so-and-so did it. She said, well, if he jumped off a cliff, would you? Somebody else doing it don't make it right, does it? Somebody else doing it won't justify you doing it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. But boy, we try, don't we? I mean, we try in ourselves to justify everything that we can. We say, well, it's not really that bad. But listen, the best thing that we can ever do with sin is to just come clean before God and not try to, not try to justify it, not try to pass it off on somebody else or blame it on our circumstances. You know what? Listen, a child could be born into this world, and this may sound cruel to many, but this is just the way that it is. A child can be born into this world and not have the proper upbringing. He could be taught by his parents to go out and to steal and to do things that are not right. But when that child goes out and does that, he is still responsible for what he does, no matter what. No matter what. When you're doing wrong, and we are responsible for that no matter what the circumstances are. We're responsible. We have an individual accountability, every one of us. Lost friend today, nobody but you has that accountability for your soul. If we don't warn people, I mean, as the church, as the watchman, if we don't warn people, God's going to pass judgment on us for it. But that will never change the situation of those who are lost. They'll still be lost. They'll still be lost. So if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know that you are an individual before God. You stand responsible before Him for your condition. You stand responsible and accountable before God for your sin, you and you alone. And you need to bring it to the Lord. And you need to repent. You need to turn from it. And you need to turn to the Lord. You know, I think perhaps one of the greatest hindrances in people getting saved, one of the greatest hindrances in Christian people keeping their life what it ought to be before God, is just acknowledging our sin. Just acknowledging our sin. But listen, lost friend, if you won't acknowledge your sin and your transgressions truthfully before the Lord, you'll never be saved. You can't repent of them until you do. Acknowledge your condition before the Lord, because you're responsible. I'd like for us to have a song.